Do please take a seat. Anybody know where that is? A few murmurs, I'm sure you do really. It's Kellingley Colliery in North Yorkshire. And a week ago on Christmas Day, on the 18th of December, that was then the last remaining deep coal mine in the country, and it closed down on the 18th of December. A very poignant moment, really. I heard an interview on the radio with a former miner, 81-year-old Harry Hobb, who started work in 1949. Now you can do the maths. He was age 15 then. Imagine that, 15, down the mine. And there were still pit ponies in the mines. And that was the first job he had, to look after a pit pony. And he was asked the inevitable question, what was it like down the mine? He said this. He said it in a Yorkshire accent, which I'm going to hold myself back from trying to imitate. He said this. If you talk about what's black, you'll never see anything blacker than a coal mine when you turn your light out. You need your light to see your mate next to you. That's why the mining industry was so close together, he said. That's why we're so tight-knit, because it was the light that kept you together. That was your life, and that was his life, and my life was the light. The light was our life. Well, when I heard that, my mind went straight to John chapter 1, verse 4. We've been looking at this passage, haven't we, before Christmas. In him was life, in Jesus, in the Word was life, and the life was the light of man. The life was the light of man. The light shines into the in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or the darkness has not overcome it. We looked at that, as I said, we looked at that for our Advent series. Seeing the Christmas Light was one of our titles. We saw that Jesus, the light of the world, the Christmas light, that he lifts the gloom, that he shows us the way, he shows up our darkness too that needs to be dealt with. But we were challenged to recognize his light and also to walk in his light. That was the challenge of that talk. Because Jesus, the light of the world, is our life. We cannot live without him. That's what the Bible says. He is the light we cannot manage without. Without him, we remain satisfied with our own darkness. Without him, we don't know which way to go. Without his light, we cannot live. Just as all plants and all life on earth needs the light and the energy of the sun, doesn't it? The light of the sun to produce energy in us. So we need the light of the sun to live. And we need to, let's praise him for that, that he is our light, that we are reliant on him for our life. Let's constantly express the fact, our dependence on him. We need him every day. And that's where prayer comes in. Our constant saying how much we need him. Jesus has come down into the deepest, darkest mine of sinful human existence. He shined his light to show us the way out. And it's good to give thanks for that, isn't it? It's good to give thanks for that, especially when we are so often aware of the darkness. The Archbishop of Canterbury talked about the darkness on his Christmas Day sermon. He talked about the darkness in the Middle East, the work of ISIS there. And he said this, he likened ISIS to the modern day Herod. And he said that Christianity faced extinction, extermination in the Middle East because of this. But you know, that's a terrible darkness, that's a terrible evil, isn't it? But it's not the only darkness in the world. It's not the only evil that threatens to engulf us. Did you hear what Pope Francis said also in his Christmas Day or Christmas Eve sermon? I'm not sure which one. But he said the world has become intoxicated with consumerism. Consumerism is that desire we have to get and to buy and to buy and to get and to grab and to fill our lives with more and more stuff. And we need to do that for our economies to work. And so we're encouraged to do it and all the rest of it. And at this time of year, you can see it's like we've become drunk on it. And you know, I can see that in myself. When I start to wander around the shops or wherever, I think, oh yeah, that would be great. I'd love that. Oh, I must have that. Yeah, I'll put that on my list. Can't manage without that trivial part of that, you know, suddenly trivial thing that I suddenly can't manage without. But we become drunk with it. And you know, that's a terrible darkness too. Because that shuts out the light of Jesus. It means that we begin to rely more, we begin to think more of things than we do of people and our relationships with people. And that's never right, is it? How can that be right? That we value our things more than we value the person next door to us who we never talk to. Because we're always inside busy playing with our things. That's sad, isn't it? It shuts out the reality of what Jesus came to bring us. Of our relationship with him and relationship with others that he came to bring us. It's a darkness that covers our land. Well, we've heard from the Archbishop of Canterbury. We've heard from Pope Francis. But just in case we fall into despair, we need to hear from someone else. We need to hear what our own Queen said. She quoted from this passage, didn't she? She quoted from John 1. And this verse, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Overcome it, not in. Some versions say have not understood it. Some versions say has not overcome it. That's the English Standard Version. The light, the darkness has not overcome it. And that's good to hear, isn't it? And it's true. Just think about Jesus' life. Just think about all the people who tried to snuff out that life when he came into the world. Herod, who tried to kill all the baby boys just to get that one life. Terrible, terrible thing. But Jesus was kept safe. Think about the people. There was a time when Jesus said something and all the leaders and religious scribes picked up stones to start to throw at him, and he walked away and he was safe. But then they did conspire against him and they put him on the cross and they did kill him and they put him in the grave. But that light wasn't extinguished, was it? It came back to life. Jesus, God raised him to life again, and the light burst into flame once more. And sometimes our lives are like that. Sometimes we feel that that light is going to be blown out. But you know, the harder the devil blows at us, the more the Lord keeps us alight. And we pray that will be the case in the Middle East, don't we? I don't think Christianity will be exterminated in the Middle East, as hard as it is there, because God will make his light burn ever brighter. And sometimes it's those times of hardship that makes the light burn brighter. But the other thing we mentioned briefly was that there's a response for us. There's a calling for us here too. Because if Jesus is the light of the world, and if we claim to follow Jesus, we're followers of Jesus, we have Jesus inside us, as all followers, true followers of Jesus do, that means that we too have his light in us. In fact, Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." He said, "I am the light of the world." No, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." It's interesting. Jesus doesn't say, "You should be the light of the world." He doesn't even say, "Try and make your life like a light." He says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Don't keep it hidden." That's what he's saying. Don't keep that light hidden. Like a city on a hill. You know, you can't hide a city on a hill, can you? It's there to be seen. Well, that's what we're to be like. It would be ridiculous. How ridiculous to light a candle and then put a bucket on top of it. That would just be silly, wouldn't it? And yet sometimes we are like that as Christians. We hide away our light. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and so glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus' light has shown us the way to live. Now we're called to shine our lights to show others the way to live. Just like that candle in the window, in the hurricane, leading people to the light, to safety, to the good place to be. I don't know if you noticed on Christmas Eve, there was a wonderful, wonderful moon, wasn't there? Did you see that? It was a full moon, was it, on Christmas Eve night? This doesn't happen very often, apparently. It was gorgeous. As I came down to Christingle, it was just in the twilight showing through. You know, the moon is very beautiful. Rod reminded us this a few weeks ago, I think. The moon is very beautiful when it's like that. But the amazing thing is that it is only reflected light. It's not the moon's light we can see when we look at the moon. It's the light of the sun shining off the moon. And you know, we can be like that with Jesus. Our lives can be beautiful as we reflect his life out into the dark world around us. That's what he's called us to do. How do we let our light shine? How do we do that? This is not, you know, sometimes preachers ask questions and they'd be horrified if you answered. This is not one of those times. I'm asking you the question. How do we let our light shine? Any thoughts? By living lives that please God, by following the way that he's shown us to live. Absolutely, John. That because that's reflecting God's character, who he is, to the world around. Anything else, people would say? Talking to our neighbours. Absolutely. Telling people about who we found and why Jesus is so precious to us. Or did you just mean talking generally to our neighbours? Building up a relationship with our neighbours. You're absolutely right. That's a start, isn't it? And sometimes we don't even get that far. We don't. You're right. Talking. There's a New Year's resolution. How about talking to our neighbours? Scary. Anything else? Absolutely. Seeing people's need and meeting that need in any way we can. Absolutely. Looking after people. Anything else?
When you've been hurt, not responding in kind.
Yeah, that's absolutely, that's very profound. That's very difficult, isn't it? But that's what shows the difference. When, if you didn't hear, when we've been hurt, you know, when we've been hurt, our tendency, our natural reaction is to lash out to hurt people around us. But if we don't respond in that way, if we don't respond in the same way, that's letting the light shine. Absolutely. Well, we're going to sing, and then I'd like you to think a bit more as we're singing. I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to hopefully pass the mic around for some people to share. How have you seen the light shine last year, during the last year, the last week, or whenever? It can be any time, really, but how have you seen the light shine in other people's lives? Maybe in your own life, affecting you in some way, or maybe on an international scale, I don't know. But how have you seen the light shine in the last year or so? Have a think. I'm hoping some people will have things to share. Don't make it long, make it quick, and then we can all share. But we're going to sing this song, which I like, this carol. I like because it reminds us that we talk about the good news of Jesus, and yet we still see, 2,000 years later, we still see, we haven't seen peace on earth yet. And it reminds us that the story isn't, as we saw on Christmas Day, there's another episode to come, isn't there? So let's sing, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Do please take a seat. How have you seen the light of Christ, the light of Jesus shine this year? I wonder who's going to contribute, who's going to be brave enough to be first. It can just be something very small, it could be something bigger. It could just be very quiet.
In a new situation at work, which I've now finished with, but during the last 3 months, a really great opportunity because people had left and people were going off sick, and I saw some opportunities to do some things which I hadn't quite done before. A bit scary, but I did it and I really enjoyed it, and I think people were blessed because I stepped in and helped when I could. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm. Thank you, Graham. So that involved a step of faith, didn't it? Stepping out of your comfort zone, but people were blessed in that way. Liz.
Lots of you know the situation we're in, but for Mick, not getting really angry and cross at the situation that we found ourselves in, and for the calm way in which he's dealt with things, and the advice from other people who have blessed us in the situation that we found ourselves in.
Absolutely, that's grace at work, isn't it? That's wonderful.
We read in one of the Christian magazines about people working in the Middle East that those particularly working in camps where people had fled ISIS, people were turning from Islam to Christ because they recognized that it was only in Jesus that they had peace and hope.
That's what God is so brilliant at, turning what seems like disaster into a way of bringing his life.
On Christmas afternoon, I held in my arms a little baby born to Tracy's sister and brother-in-law. Those who know the background know that she's a miracle baby. And we had prayed much in South Africa for them. And to hold that little one in my arms was a blessing and brought a light into my heart. Thank you.
Praise God.
I'm not going to mention this little boy's name because he's sitting here today, but I thought I'd share a story of how children can be a light as well. And this little boy once a year does quite a bit of fundraising and then sends his money overseas, and he got a letter with the till slips of how he was able to bless a little village and a family and provide much needed school supplies and basic living requirements for this family. And that was such a blessing to witness.
Hand went up and came down over there, I'm not sure.
I'm able to be a light at work, and I have more than one job, but one of the jobs is in a school, and I seem to be in a lot of RE lessons with teachers who are not actually Christian and don't really believe in God, and I have the opportunity to sometimes explain the Bible to the students, especially where the teacher gets it wrong. I also help in an advice service, and that's really good as well, to see how we can help people in difficult situations.
When I was in Ethiopia, I met a man named Gizachu, who, when he was 18 or 19, I think, with a friend, decided to help and serve the local community. They wanted to evangelize and tell people about Jesus, but they also wanted to feed them. And he's now about 43, 44, and what began with these two men has now grown so that they were serving, I think it was 1,500 meals a day, to the people who are destitute in parts of Addis Ababa. Can I say something else, Graham?
Yeah, go on then. Yes, please do.
All right, thank you. I was calmly sitting watching The Apprentice the other night, and you know, Alan Sugar, he gives his the contestants a task to do. He tells them what to do, and he provides some resources for them, and they go out, and then they come back, and they report to him, and some are hired and some are fired. And I thought, well, Jesus sent the disciples out, didn't he? He gave them a task, gave them resources, gave them instructions to do something. I was thinking particularly about the 72. But they went out and they came back and they reported to Jesus what they had done and what they had achieved in his name. And they were blessed. He didn't hire and fire, but they had specific instructions to do. And I found that quite challenging.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy. We're going to pause there. Oh, one more. June.
I would just like to thank everybody in the radiography department in the Royal Barracks. They are just wonderful people and deserve all our thanks and everything. So, thank you.
Thank you, June. Yes. So, we're going to pause. And my challenge for you is that as you have coffee afterwards and you're chit-chatting away, try and encourage one another with one way you've seen the light shine recently, something good that's been the light shining, and perhaps one way where you'd like to see the light shine, something that feels dark at the moment you'd like to see the light shine. How about sharing those things over coffee? That'd be good. We're going to have a time of quiet now. After the time of quiet, what's going to happen is this, is that, you see, we've got our candle back up the front. We had this candle up for a long time. It had rays coming out it. Do you remember? It was actually something we did at one of the joint youth events that was a Solid Rock Cafe thing. But I've put it back up now because what I want us to do, Kennet Valley, we want to be a light shining, don't we? We want to be a light shining in this community. And as part of Kennet Valley, whether you live on these little estates around here or not, or whether you live somewhere else, you want to be a light shining in your communities and in your workplaces and all the rest of it. That's part of Kennet Valley's light shining. And so as a kind of commitment to praying and to saying to the Lord, look, throughout 2016, I want to see Kennet Valley's light shining brightly, the light of Jesus. And I want to be part of that. If that's what you feel, if that's what you want to be a part of, I would ask you to come and write your name on a ray. This is a ray, you see. Right? Come and write your name on a ray and then stick it on the candle. And you see, we'll leave that up through the year and our names will be up there saying, this is what we're praying for in our life together and our lives as individuals. If you can't come up, that you see there's a table up here for those who are happy to come up the steps. There's a table down here for those who don't want to do that. And if you don't want to come up at all, if you put your hand up, Susie will find you with a ray and you can put your name on and she will stick it up for you. And perhaps some other people can help her with that if she gets overwhelmed. Now, we've got a lot of visitors here today. We've almost got as many visitors as we have regulars. And it's great to see you. Great to see the Fairbairns at the back. Great to see Helen. Great to see Dennis and Lynn. Now, all those people I've just met, you're not really visitors, are you? In fact, you're all part of Kennet Valley's light still shining out. And what I'd say to you, if you're a visitor, please come up. Nobody's under pressure to do this. If you don't want to do it, that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. But if you want to be part of Jesus's light shining out and you'd like to express this in this way, if you're a visitor, come out, write your name and just write where you want your light to shine. So Rich Fairbairn, Little Paxton, wherever, Helen Morrow, West Bromwich, wherever. Okay, so you can do that and wherever you are, whoever you are, you can do that, okay? But no pressure. I don't want anyone to do anything that they're uncomfortable with or feel, well, I don't really know if I want to shine out Jesus's light. That's between you and the Lord for you to sort out. And the last thing I want you to do is to come up and commit to something that you're not really committed to. Okay, but that's what we're going to do. So we're going to have a bit of quiet And then we're going to do that. I'm not sure how long it will take. We will sing a final song, and then that will be the end of the service. Okay. Let's have a quiet as we reflect on Jesus, the light of the world, and how we've seen him shine and how we want him to shine.